morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for about 30 years with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, and also with our friends over at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then with our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And I'm just so delighted to be with you as we come to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. So we're going through a big, long series that's really been a series for me for several years called Portraits of God. Because every time I see scriptures, I see different portraits of God that emerge. And the portrait that's on my heart that we started last week for a little three-week series within a series is called He is Our Daily Grace. Wow, this is a powerful, powerful portrait. And we're going to several portions of Scripture to look at it. We've looked at the first 3 out of 10 for those of you that are note takers. And so if you want to make your way over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to continue our journey. And as you do, just a quick reminder that these messages, these 27-minute audio broadcasts, are archived on my website, markpg.org. You can go back and get those that you've missed or share it with others, all kinds of things you can do. And by the way, that website also has some quick guides, some one-page guides on some hot topics that we face in the Christian life and in church life. There's also 3-minute videos of portraits of God. And then some articles that are written for a publication for the last 20 years or so that are archived there as well. All of them are designed simply to help you hear God. So that's over at markpg.org. Well, as is our custom, before we go into the scriptures, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, we just love how You love to speak to us, and You do so through Your love letters to us, the scriptures. And Father, as we are looking at how You indeed are our daily grace, I pray I will be able to do the topic justice, to paint the portrait in such a way that it can really be transforming in our lives, and we get how much of Your grace upon grace is active in our lives, whether we realize it at the time or not. So thank You, Lord, for being able to take this journey with my friends as we sit at Your feet, gaze in Your eyes, and let You speak to us heart to heart. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friends. Well, as I mentioned, we're going to pick it up in number 4, the fourth takeaway of 10 that we have regarding the Lord as our daily grace here in 1 Corinthians 15. But just a quick overview, the first thing that we looked at last week was how the Lord, our daily grace, spawns salvation through faith. He spawns salvation through faith. That's what He does by His grace. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, and not a result of works, that no one should boast. And then number 2, we saw that the Lord, our daily grace, well, that grace comes from His fullness. Listen to this in John 1, for of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. I just love that. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And so we unpacked that last week as well. And then we went to number 3, how the Lord, our daily grace, well, His grace is God's channel of abundance. 2 Corinthians 9 puts it this way, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. But now it goes even deeper as we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Watch how the Lord, our daily grace, number 4, not only spawns salvation through faith, and not only does grace come from His fullness, And not only is grace God's channel of abundance, but grace defines and works through us. Now, this is powerful. His grace defines us and it works through us. He works through us because He is our daily grace. Listen to this passage in 1 Corinthians 15:10. It's phenomenal. It says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Well, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." Oh man, I just love that. Oh, look at that first phrase, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." It defines us. The Lord created us uniquely. He created us for a purpose. The question is whether we will get in on what He's doing or what He has done, and will we be faithful to it? Will we become a child of God, born again, totally signed up, all in, and let Him, by His grace, work through us, which defines us? Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's phenomenal. And we're going to look at some specific examples in number five in a moment. But before we leave number four, I just want to kind of take a deep dive here. Now, Lindy and I, we raised three sons back in the 80s. They were all born. And so now they're all grown men, married lovely young ladies who all love the Lord. All three have started their families. We have seven grandchildren. And there are traditions we have at Easter and Christmas and, the daily lifestyle of talking about God all the time is going on to the next generation. It's just wonderful to watch each of them being defined by the grace of God in them. And they are so different from each other. The Lord has not only given them different spiritual gifts, which we will look at number five, but He's also wired them with other abilities. Our oldest son is incredibly gifted musically. I mean, he could play the piano and pick out major tunes and famous tunes by ear when he was still 7 or 8 years old. And we'll never forget when our second son said, "Oh, Mom and Dad, will you teach me to play by ear too?" And we had to explain, "Son, that's not something that can be taught. It's either something God has given you to be able to do or it's not." And so the Lord, our Creator, He creates musicians, He creates artists, He creates mathematicians. He creates our gender, by the way, even though we're in this crazy era where people think they can select their own gender. But that's another story and another message. Listen, people. I knew people in my high school that were incredibly gifted artists. One guy could just take a pen and a little felt pen, start drawing dots. And it's called pointillism, I think, if I recall. And he would do portraits of, for example, I'll never forget, he did one of the Beatles. He did a portrait of the Beatles and just with little dots. And I said, "How do you know where to put a dot?" "I don't know. It just kind of goes where it's supposed to go and you end up with a portrait of the Beatles, you know?" And another gal, she was able just to draw all kinds of images and cartoons and this and that and the other with an eye. "How do you know that?" "I don't know. It just comes." Same thing with musicianship, as we mentioned. Same thing in the sciences. Same things in engineering. Same things in the ability to speak. Poetry. I mean, you can go on and on with all the different graces of God, abilities and talents that have been embedded with us since birth. That's a gift from above. That is the Lord, our daily grace, giving us those abilities that are to define and be worked through us. That's His heartbeat. I don't know what yours may be. It may be a simple gift of service, and in your mind it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. Any particular ability and heart and passion you have that you've had since as long as you can remember, that is God's grace working in you, my friend. He is our daily grace. He wants us to be so in line with Him, such closeness in our communication with Him, that these things can be focused upon and leveraged to be the people He designed us to be. Now, picking up with this theme, we go to Romans chapter 12, because I want you to see how the Lord, our daily grace, spawns different gifts in different degrees. Listen to this in Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Did you get that? We have gifts that differ according to what? The grace given to us. And we're to each exercise those gifts accordingly. Now, over the years, I've discovered that most people have a couple of those seven spiritual gifts in Romans 12 that tend to be the dominant ones, but they do have sprinkles of some of the others, and sometimes apparently not much of the others. It's such a fascinating thing. But one of the ways I like to explain it is this, is if you've ever gone to Home Depot or Lowe's or somewhere to buy some paint, and you look at these swashes of paint that have, or the cards that are on the display there, and there are just thousands of them colors. There's so many different whites and so many different greens and so many different blues. I mean, so many. But when you finally pick one, it has a number on it, and you take it up there, and it's fascinating to me. They'll take a base paint, and then they'll put it on this machine, and they'll plug in those numbers, and it'll put a little drop of maybe red, a little drop of maybe blue, a little drop of maybe black, and certain degrees, whatever. But whatever combination of those droplets of paint are introduced into the base paint, and then it's all mixed up, that unique color emerges. Well, that, my friend, is exactly how these spiritual gifts work in us. We may have some dominant gifts that are kind of like the base paint. You know, the scripture talks about the gifts of prophecy. By the way, I've used animal metaphors to help us understand the differing gifts. So just briefly, the seven, and see if you spot yourself as we go along, I'm going to share with you, and then the animal metaphor, and sometimes we're like two animals combined is our dominant one, but then we got sprinkles of the other to give us that uniqueness that I've just described in the paint metaphor. So I know I got two metaphors going, but you know, bear with me. So one is the gift of prophecy, proclaiming the black and white heart truths of God. These are the people who just declare things. They're strong. They have opinions. They don't mind sharing them. They're kind of the field generals. They're kind of the take charge kind of folks. Well, the eagle is a good picture of that big, huge, strong eagle. They get the big overview. And when they talk, they screech and they look intimidating. They look like they're mad and they got their talents. So some people with a gift of a dominant gift of prophecy, it's like a dominant eagle, can scare people. Maybe they don't intend to, or maybe they do, but that's one of the spiritual gifts. Very different from the gift of mercy, for example, which is encouraging people of their high value in God's eyes, just gently encouraging folks. That's like a dove. Doves don't screech like an eagle, they coo. And they don't fly high, they fly low. And they're gentle, and they're peaceable, and they make people feel comfortable and loved. And that's a very important spiritual gift, but it's very different from an eagle, for example. Another spiritual gift is exhortation, and that's encouraging people, motivating each other to do the things of God. You can do this, I know you can, and they are just joyful, and they're positive, they're the life of the party, they're the sparkle in the room, they're the fudge in the hot fudge sundae. The animal here is the dolphin. Dolphins, think about it. They're always smiling, always splashing around, having fun. They're people that are wired primarily this way with the gift of exhortation. They're dolphins as opposed to intimidating eagles or gentle doves. Well, there's also the gift of teaching, and that is explaining the comprehensive insights of God. These are the people that just devour the scriptures. They know it inside and out. They love to explain all the comprehensive truths of God, not the simple one-dimensional things that a prophet might just speak and declare, but they go into all the nuances. These are the people with the charts and the diagrams and the visuals and the outlines, and they can be intimidating as well. That's why tiger is a good metaphor here. Tigers like the meat of the word, not just the simple milk. So you have the eagles that are strong, you got the tigers that are strong, you got the dolphins that are strong, all in very different ways. But then you have not the extroverted gifts like I just described, but the introverted ones, one of which We just mentioned the gift of mercy, the dove. Well, there's a gift of service, and that's like a squirrel who behind the scenes goes and gathers up the nuts, you know, to keep for the wintertime and all. They love to work behind the scenes, but they try to pet them and they'll run away. They don't like the limelight. They don't like to be focused upon. And oh, the lovely little squirrels are so busy, so active. And these are people with the gift of service. They love to make meals for people. They love to help with projects. They love to help with the lawn. They're hands-on kind of people like that, but behind the scenes, not on stage. And so that's why a squirrel is a good metaphor for this one. Then there's a gift of giving, like honeybees. Honeybees make honey, something tangible that we get from them. Well, those with the gift of giving, they like to give money, but not make a big deal about it. They like to give things that are needed. They just love to give and give and give. I love those that are honeybees who love to give, like the honeybees give us honey. Finally, you have the gift of administrations, or organizing the body of Christ to do the things of God. These can be extroverted or introverted. It's an ant. And the Proverbs say, consider the ant who gathers, you know, in the harvest so they can have some later and all. They think ahead. These are the people whose closets are very organized, or the garage is very organized, or their tools are very organized, whatever. It's the children who reflexively keep their room clean and orderly. They're wired as an ant with the gift of administrations. So I have a whole series on this, by the way, and it's in one of my books you can find at the website and parenting book. But these seven spiritual gifts illustrated by the eagle and the tiger and the dolphin and the ant and the honeybee and the squirrel and the dove, when you mix them together in differing degrees, this is the gift of God by His grace. The Lord, our daily grace, number five, spawns different gifts in different degrees in each of us. And oh, one of the greatest joys is to discover your dominant gifts and then in Christ start cultivating the other gifts to become the gracious person of God He intended you to be. And by the way, remember that our simplest goal in the Christian life is to let Him transform us into more and more Christ-likeness. Well, Jesus Christ had all of the gifts and it's to its utmost degrees. So the more we become Christ-like, the more those gifts will be manifested in our lives, and it gets harder and harder to tell as we get older what our originally two dominant gifts were, because we're taking on so many of the others as we grow in Christ's likeness. Oh, my friend, the more you abide with the Lord as your daily grace and let Him continue to pour His grace in you and through you, you will become more and more Christ-like. You will begin manifesting all the different gifts. It'll define you and work through you. It's just a marvelous, marvelous way in which the Lord takes His children, or takes the bride of Christ, and transforms them into the people He designed them to be. He doesn't force it on us. That's why we have to cultivate it. It's not automatic, but it's there, ready to be cultivated to the degree we continually abide with the Lord as our daily grace. All right, so we've got fives thus far. How grace spawns salvation through faith. Number two, how it comes from His fullness. Number three, it's God's channel of abundance. Number four, it defines and works through us. Number five, it spawns different gifts in different degrees. And here's number six. Having said all this, the Lord, our daily grace, wants us to know that grace, here we go, number six, comes to the humble, not the proud. Comes to the humble, not the proud. Now, it's there, but as far as it transforming us and working through us, it is going to be through the humble, not the proud. The proud causes a backup, a block to all that grace that's ready to stream out from us. And here's what the Bible says about it over in James chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, but He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Couldn't be more clear than that. Now, why is this so? Well, it's very simple. Remember how we have, on the one hand, the doctrines or the principle or the truths about the sovereignty of God who's working out his purposes. But on the other hand, we have free will, our individual right to say yes to whatever God wants to do through us or no. He doesn't force his love on us. He doesn't force his grace on us. He doesn't force his ways on us, but he offers. It's right there. It's like offering hors d'oeuvres. You can take and eat, or you can ignore them and not eat. He's offers, but he's giving us free will to choose yes or to choose no. And here's the thing. The proud reflexively say no. How do they do that? By saying, I can handle it. I got it. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I already got this. No problem. You see, that's a spirit of self-sufficiency. And here's the crazy thing. Proud people who have a spirit of self-sufficiency that basically don't need others. I'm doing pretty good. God and I can handle this. And actually, I don't talk about God a lot because I don't need to. I'm kind of, cruising along here. That self-deceptive self-sufficiency is actually a deficiency because it keeps us from experiencing the flowing grace of the Lord, because he only gives it to the humble. It's only manifested that way. You know, in this world, they talk about, oh, you got to build up your self-esteem. Oh, build up. Don't hurt their self-esteem and all this other stuff. Well, I like how one guy puts it. He says, that's just selfish esteem. That's what that is. Self-esteem or selfish esteem? When we run on the steam engine of our own selfishness and self-centeredness and self-aggrandizement and self-sufficiency for the purpose of self-esteem, we're missing the boat. That's a spirit of pride. And it blocks up even greater abilities, greater effectiveness, greater presence in the lives of the people around us by the grace of God. That's why the scripture says that pride cometh before a fall. Man, we will fall on our face regularly if we try to do the Christian life on our own or in a spirit of self-sufficiency and self-esteem. Oh, my friend, God gives grace to the humble, not to the proud. And I got to tell you that as the years have gone by, every year after year after year after year, I begin to see myself in my weaknesses more often than my strengths. In fact, now that I'm in the role that I'm serving in now, I'm a consultant to a little over 100 churches here in Southwest Florida, and I'm working with churches and pastors all the time, and I see them doing things, or I see pastors saying or doing some things in their churches that I'm going, oh man, I made that mistake when I was pastoring back then. But like them, I didn't realize it back when I was younger. And I've come to the place where I've had some times in my prayer times, I'm just going, Lord, I'm just overwhelmed at how much I botched it and still do. I just was so blind to see it. I was so self-sufficient. I couldn't see how certain attitudes and certain baggage and certain wounds and certain blind spots in my life were causing me to do things that I didn't even realize were hurtful or damaging. And yet you covered for me. And you kept covering for me by your grace upon grace. And I look back and I just think, wow, God, you used me more in spite of me than because of me. Oh, my friend. To the degree we get that we were created by God uniquely, and that he wants the best for us, and he has all of these truths in scripture for us, and he has people in our lives to help us. When we don't listen to those that are around us and the scriptures, we don't listen to the scriptures or dig deeper, we miss out on so much. We used to tell our sons when we were raising them, guys, Anybody can have an airtight argument in the vacuum of their own isolated thoughts. That's a vacuum. It's airtight. But the moment you let the breath or the air of other people sharing their thoughts, their perspectives, their views of Scripture, when we allow that to come in, we see that our arguments are most often not airtight at all, but there's plenty of room for tweaking, adjusting, and even changing. That takes humility, my friend. Don't get reactive and defensive when talking with brothers and sisters or being in meetings when a great idea you thought was foolproof is, well, challenged. It's just God using us all with our varying gifts to hear His heart and to do what He's called us to do. Working together, collaborating, cooperating. The humble do that, but the proud do not. Oh, my friend, cultivate that spirit of humility. Grateful that God created you uniquely, but you're not perfect. Never will be. Neither are those around you. And it's a great opportunity to listen, to hear, to adjust, and to work together. Oh, that's a fruit of living by the daily grace of God. Well, Lord, thank you for this time together. I just love going through your love letters with my brothers and sisters, and thank you for this picture of how you are our daily grace. Thank you, Lord. We receive that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Oh, until next time, just fall more and more in love with the Lord, your daily grace.